some of you listened patiently to me for about 8.5 to 9 years when I was pastor of this congregation. Many of you here today have listened patiently to me since I have been here as your interim pastor now for almost 16 months. I think you know from listening to me on many Sundays that my normal pattern or method for preaching is to take a biblical text, to attempt to draw out of that biblical text some applications for your life and my life today. And if I was to follow that method that I normally follow today, I certainly would talk about the fact that the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us when we are disciples of Christ. But this morning is not a normal Sunday. It's not a normal Sunday because it's my last Sunday to give a full sermon here. And it is not a normal Sunday because next Sunday you will have Charles Qualls to be your new pastor. And as your interim pastor, I interpret it as part of my assignment to prepare you as much as possible for the arrival of a new pastor. So this morning, I want to just give some pastoral observations. You may not want to hear what I have to say, but I know you well enough to know that you will listen, as is your custom, patiently to what I have to say. And I hope you will forgive me from wandering from our biblical text. There are four observations I want to make this morning. The first observation I make is that I hope you will understand the complexity of the job that belongs to Charles when he comes next week to be the pastor. Many of you have had hard and complex tasks in your own particular profession across the years, and I don't want to suggest that Charles has the most complex job there is in the city of Franklin. But I do want you to understand that being the pastor of a Baptist congregation in the second decade of the 21st century carries with it a wide diversity of tasks that demand a diversity of skill sets. Charles needs to be a person who can stand up here in this pulpit and be an excellent public speaker. The most visible task he will perform Sunday by Sunday is the task of interpreting for you a text from the Word of God. In addition to this, he'll need to be adept at interpersonal relationships. He'll need to have a strong emotional quotient. He'll need to get along with all kinds of people, and there are all kinds of people in Franklin. He will need to be an administrator because this church has a large physical footprint on this property. And the budget of this church is roughly $500,000, and he will be responsible for raising that and for making sure that it is spent in a way that carries out good stewardship. He'll have to be a personnel supervisor, a human resources manager, if you will. You'll need to know how to hire and motivate the staff to fulfill their various job descriptions. He'll need to be a counselor from time to time when people come to him. So he'll need to have some empathy for people's problems and some wisdom to be able to listen to their narrative and help them make good decisions about their next steps in life. You'll have to be a coordinator of volunteers for a large not-for-profit organization, coordinating literally hundreds of people on committees and boards and serving in various responsibilities, because the work of the church will be done by you, not just by him. You'll need to be a crisis manager from time to time when crises occur, and on occasion he may even need to be a prophet speaking truth to power. Charles will always have a lot of balls that he will have to juggle and keep in the air. All of this he will have to do in public, because the job of the pastor is basically a public job. It is subject to the expectations of you, the congregation, because in a sense, every one of you is his boss. If you were to get on an airplane and fly to California, you wouldn't think of going to the cockpit and telling the pilot how to fly the plane. But everyone in a Baptist church feels free to tell the pastor how to interpret a biblical text, or how to arrive at the proper outcome of a meeting, or how to treat someone who's looking for assistance, or how to solve a problem with a staff member. Bringing a Baptist congregation to consensus is leadership at its most challenging. So I just wanted to remind you that he carries with him a complex job. The second observation I make today is that I hope you will let Charles be your pastor. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Next Sunday, Charles will become the pastor of Franklin Baptist Church. His name will appear in the bulletin. It'll be painted on the church sign. It'll be on the website and on the letterhead. And 8 days from now, when he gathers the staff on Monday morning, he will be the leader of the church staff. But because he is the pastor, does not necessarily mean he has become your pastor. He will not be your pastor until you allow him to do pastoral things for you. Until you invite him to visit you in the hospital or in your home. Until you let him officiate at the funeral or the wedding of one of your family members, or participate in the baptism of one of your children or grandchildren. Until he walks alongside you and holds you close in the midst of a crisis. Until he advises a committee on which you're working as to the direction of that committee. I hope that you will shorten the time between when Charles becomes the pastor and when he becomes your pastor. Third observation. I hope you will be open to change. I told the early service this morning, change is a four-letter word for most people. Before I came here 34 years ago as pastor, I was worried about whether you as a congregation would be receptive to change. I was coming from an urban congregation which had only 4 people in its membership who were above the age of 65. all of the people in that church were young. They were eager for change. Their mantra was, don't do anything the same way twice. And I viewed Franklin as a small town in the South, and it's a Baptist church, and I wondered whether change would be possible here. I came here for my first interview, and we sat in the conference room across the table from the pastor search committee, and I asked the pastor search committee a question. I said, what are you looking for in a pastor? And as soon as I asked that question, the entire committee got lockjaw for a couple of minutes. No one seemed to have a quick answer to what they wanted in a pastor. And finally, Lorna Bryant. You remember Lorna Bryant? Lorna Bryant looked across the table and she said, we just need somebody to come here and shake us up. I loved her answer. I loved her answer because I realized that here was a congregation that was ready to embrace the new without denying or throwing aside all that was excellent and wonderful about the rich traditions of this congregation. A congregation that was open to change. This church, in the future, will need to change from time to time. When Charles comes here to be the pastor, I would be rather surprised if he suggested significant changes immediately. He's a smart guy. He's well trained. He is fully experienced. He's patient. I think he will keep his eyes open and his mouth closed for a while to kind of get the lay of the land. But I would also be surprised if, over time, Charles doesn't offer some suggestions about how this congregation can change as it goes into the future. Hear him out. Listen to what he says. And if he suggests some changes that you don't like, pause and remember that institutions like churches that never change are doomed to die. Final point. I hope that you will decide to make Charles a success. Success isn't automatic when you become pastor of a church. It takes hard work and wise decision making and a lot of energy on the part of the pastor. But it also takes the support of the congregation and the staff. And it takes time. It takes time for you to get on the same wavelength with the pastor and the pastor to get on the same wavelength with you. And so you have, in large measure, a responsibility to help make Charles a success. Do you remember the story of the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness? And they were attacked by the Amalekites. And Moses dispatched Joshua to lead the people to fight against the Amalekites. And then Moses took two of his leaders, Aaron and Hur, and the three of them climbed onto a hill overlooking the battlefield. And there, standing on that promontory and looking down at the place where the battle was to take place, Moses got his walking stick and he placed it in his hands and he put it up in the air. And every time Moses raised the walking stick, the the battle turned in favor of the Israelites. And when he lowered his walking stick, then the momentum shifted back to the Amalekites. Throughout the day, Moses' arms got weary holding the staff in the air. And finally, Aaron took a place on one side of Moses and Hur on the other side of Moses. And they reached up and they grabbed his arms and they held his arms in the air until sunset. And the Israelites won the victory. There will be days when Charles will not get to the end of the day before he gets weary. And all of his natural abilities, which are considerable, and all of his seminary training, which is extensive, and all of his background in congregational leadership, which is excellent, will not make him adequate to reach the end of the day and victory. In those moments, he will depend on the presence and the power of God's Spirit to help him to the end of the day. But what I've discovered is the presence of God's Spirit and power is more often than not mediated to us by human intermediaries. And you will be those human intermediaries to give him help and to give him hope on those days when he grows weary, to hold his arms up so that he can do the work that he is called to do as leader of this people. One of my favorite books of the beginning of a pastorate is entitled Open Secrets. It's by Richard Lisher. Lisher describes in this little book the beginnings of his pastoral ministry in a Lutheran congregation in southern Illinois. In those early months as a new pastor, Lisher writes that he tried to connect with his parishioners from the pulpit, but he had trouble. He never wanted to preach a sermon that didn't come from a book, and his parishioners never wanted to hear a sermon that didn't come from life. And so he achieved what he described as homiletical gridlock. He wasn't getting through, and they were no longer listening. One Sunday evening, Lisher was invited to preach at a little church called the Shiloh AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal. It's an African American congregation in his community. It was a pulpit exchange, and so he went to take his place in the pulpit there at the Shiloh Church. He launched into his sermon, and as immediately the Shiloh congregation realized that here was a young preacher in trouble. As they listened, finally a woman near the front of the church shouted out, "Help him, Jesus! Help him!" And then came the calls from around the congregation. "That's right, preacher. That's all right. Make it plain." And then soon, Lisher says that amens were coming from out in the congregation, like popping like fireworks. And Lisher said that in those moments, something happened that changed him. He said, "I learned to be more interactive with the congregation. And on occasion," he writes, "I aimed my sermon at their hearts instead of at their heads. Shiloh gave me something to hope for," he writes. "I was waiting for my audience to become a congregation." Dear friends, Charles Qualls doesn't need an audience. He wants you and needs you to be a congregation. And a congregation will help him. A congregation will hold him up. It will give him the strength he needs to do the work. And if you help him, you will make him a success. And if you make him a success, then God will be glorified. May we pray. We praise you, O God, for the holy mystery of your calling. We praise you for the calling of this congregation of a new pastor to serve in this place, your people. We pray for him and for his wife. We pray for the staff of this church, for its membership. We pray for the people of this community. Bless them, O God. Help them. Strengthen them. That they might be the congregation you're calling them to be. To your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen.